Yeah, and of course, like, you know, for the fashion industry where we have, you know, changing, literally changing with the seasons, this is one of the things that, again, we've talked about before, that that tattooing is like transgressive in a way that troubles this idea of fashion, right? People sort of say, what will you do when you're older? What if you change your mind? And the question implied there is paradoxical, because it's like, are you too worried about fashion in that you're getting this trendy thing that you'll regret later? Or are you not worried about fashion enough because you will change your mind inevitably in the future and that will be embarrassing and awful for you, right? Like, the person that it reveals something about our cultural anxieties about being in tune with the times, right? And tattooing troubles that. And I think it's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that tattooing is so problematic to mainstream Western culture, like even as it quote unquote becomes acceptable. I mean, again, here we have examples 100 years ago of tattooing being commercialized or used for commercial marketing. But at the same time, it's troubling. And I think, yeah, but the first person to really do this, to really lean into this, and I think this is, again, surprising to people, is Elsa Schiaparelli in her summer line of what she called lizarding suits in her 1929. My good friend Amber Butchart is a fashion historian, really interested in the history of seaside stuff, also tattooed herself. And she was surprised to learn this stuff. I think it's not something that's super well known. Images have been very hard to come by, and we still don't have any photography, only kind of drawings of this stuff. But it's amazing. So Elsa Schiaparelli, I mean, her house was her fashion house was defunct for a long time, but it was the branding rights were kind of revivified fairly recently. So you can buy now Schiaparelli stuff again. But she
Bring
was
back this, the lizard suits.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best things about Schiaparelli is that, like, she absolutely fucking hated Coco Chanel, who, as we know, was a fascist. So she's on the
right side of history.
She's on absolutely the right side of history. Like, so Schiaparelli's amazing, really, really wonderful, interesting woman, and again, almost the anti Chanel. So Schiaparelli was Italian. She was born in Italy. To kind of a family of academics, basically. And she studied initially philosophy at university. And you can imagine, I mean, that's already an indicator of her mindset, right? Like a young woman in the, like, you know, in the kind of 1910s, like post-World War I in Italy, studying philosophy at Rome, in Rome. She pissed off her Catholic family because she was writing erotic poetry, so they tried to send her to a convent.
What a legend.
Yeah, but you know, she's one of several people in my book whose tattoo story like involves being unsuccessfully sent to a convent. But she basically was like, fuck this, I need to get away from my family, I need to get away from Italy, and I want to, like, where's the coolest place in the world? In the interwar period, it's Paris, right? Like Paris is the absolute center of the world in the interwar period, particularly for art and culture, for fashion. You know, it's this real kind of vibrant, buzzing place that is home to the Surrealist movement, who had, you know, moved to Paris after the First World War. Like people like Duchamp are working there, Dali, Picasso.
Even outside of visual art, you had like people like Surrealists like Samuel Beckett, W.B. Yeats spent some time there. Like it was the center of art as any form of the world.
Yeah, and a lot of that Paris scene moved to New York, which is also what Schiaparelli does too. When things get hairy, particularly in the aftermath of World War I, as the years go on, a lot of those guys, including people like Duchamp, moved to New York. But Paris is this absolute kind of head. So Schiaparelli basically like kind of goes via. She's heading to London, but she stops off in Paris and like absolutely becomes like infatuated with it. Right? She said, like, this is where I want to live. Right? It's filthy. It's sexy. It's like really kind of vibrant, particularly for young women. who are cutting their hair short and wearing short skirts and smoking fags and, you know, like living this amazing life. And she got married, although it didn't work out. And in the aftermath of her marriage, she went to New York for a bit. Then she came back, you know, basically like even more like, fuck you, right? Like I've left my father behind. I've left my husband behind in America. And she became this like icon of fashion, even though initially at least she didn't really make any of her own clothes. Like a lot of women and men, but a lot of women in fashion obviously like start off as dressmakers. She was actually just a hip, young, fashionable kid wearing weird clothes, right? And she was really interested in this surrealist move.
Well, I think it makes sense in the context of her like studying philosophy, more interested in the ideas of the conceptualization of this stuff than the actual practical implementation of it.
Yeah, this is it, right? And actually, one of the things she does, and this is the kind of like root of the tattoo stuff we'll get into, is she sees some old Armenian women living in Paris who had been knitting for generations, right? And she commissions them to knit things that she's designed. She can't herself knit at all, but she commissions these Armenian women to produce things that she's designed. And the thing that she really makes her thing is like trompe l'oeil. So knitwear that with skeletons on, for example, like bones. She does a sort of series of knitwear that has a pattern of a sailor suit on it. It's all kind of play. And in this 1929 line, she produces a line of knitwear. So the lizarding suit is a bathing suit with a jacket. So you could basically kind of wear the bathing suit and then you could come out, dry off and put this jacket over it and you wouldn't have to get changed between the pool and the bar, the beach and the restaurant kind of thing. And she produces a line of those with tattoo designs on them, right? Which is just blows people's minds. And as you said, right, she has this philosophy, right? She'd been around these surrealists and she studied philosophy and she was interested in clothing, not just as a set of appearance, but yeah, a way to think about the world, right? So she said the real key for her, and this also becomes interesting in relation to her invention of this tattooed bathing suit, is like she goes to a nudist colony in Italy. As one does. And she said later on, quote, "We arrived in bathing suits and felt immediately overdressed." Right. In a town, I'm quoting from my own book here, in a town full of naked people, from the portly mayor to the hairdressers and the waitresses at lunch, she realized simultaneously both the power of clothing and of the body, right? The all important frame upon which her creations would hang. Dresses that were never worn were lifeless, inanimate, and useless. Bodies without clothes were strange, fleshy, and often ugly. Yet combined, bodies in clothes that respected their lines could be magnificent, right? She was like nakedness is weird and clothing and being clothed is weird and it's situational, right? So what she realized with these bathing suits, she knitted them in what's described in the reviews as like a sunburn shade. So they kind of match the tanned, sexy shade of a Parisian, you know, or a sort of, I guess not Paris, but like, you know, Côte d'Azur, like French, south of France, beach, flesh tone. She basically allows you to be not quite naked, not quite clothed. You get to be ambiguous and strange, slightly more than naked, but only marginally less than dressed, right? So you have these bodies on display, but the clothing is able to communicate something else. And this something else is kind of transgressiveness, again, masculinity, again, kind of playing with expectation and form in a really, you know, particular kind of moment in time.
And the transformative element as well of the changing designs in bathing suits around this time as well. They're getting much less material, more skin, and she's also combining this idea of the tattoo being transformative of the naked body as well. It's like the addition of a foreign object that transforms the aesthetic of bare skin.